الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وروح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. Brothers, I advise you, and at first I advise myself, to have taqwa of Allah and to fear Him. And to show this in our actions, that actually we believe Allah is present, Allah is watching, and even the smallest of our actions will be shown on the Day of Judgment. We are hopeful for the mercy of Allah, and we are fearful of the punishment of Allah. So I advise you to have taqwa. For today's first khutbah, I'd like to discuss one of the sayings of Amirul Mu'mineen about the pious, the people who have taqwa. This is from the khutbah, which is known as the khutbah of Hammam. He says, لَوْلَا الْأَجَلُ الَّذِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ لَمْ تَسْتَقِرَّ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ فِي أَجْسَادِهِمْ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ شَوْقًا إِلَى الثَّوَابِ وَخَوْفًا مِنَ الْعِقَابِ. If it were not for the decree that Allah had appointed, all of us, we cannot die and will not die until our ajal comes, until that time which is appointed for us comes. If it were not for the ajal, for that appointed time, which Allah had written for these believing servants, those people who have taqwa, inshallah, we can be of those people, their souls would not remain in their bodies even for the blink of an eye. If it was not for that ajal that Allah had written down for them, their souls would not remain in their bodies even for the blink of an eye. Why though? شوقاً إلى الثواب وخوفاً من العقاب. That out of love and desire for the reward of Allah, and out of fear of the punishment of Allah, it's so real to them, the next world, that if it wasn't for that ajal that Allah had written, they would not remain alive. I mentioned before that there's a hadith which explains that in the heart of every believer, there are two lights, nuran, two nur. One of them is the nur of fear, that's one nur, one light, and one of them is the nur of hope, that we believe that Allah will be kind to us despite our mistakes. Now, it's mentioned in the hadith that these two nur, they should be equal to one another. The level of my fear of God should be equal to the hope I have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One should not be heavier than the other. So that's for a normal moment. What about if we want to be people of taqwa? We have spiritual aspirations as soldiers of Imam Mahdi. What happens is that fear and hope should be so great it would kill the believer, except that God has appointed for him a determined time. So what I want to talk about today is spiritual ambition in the light of this hadith of the Imam. Spiritual ambition. Instead of me being somebody who's mediocre in my Islam, that if Allah really has a lot of mercy on me in the month of Muharram, I'll be able to change my life and at least I'll be able to practice the wajibat. That's great. Alhamdulillah. Somebody could do that in the hadith. It's awra on nas. Person who has the most taqwa is the person who can do this. But there are levels even beyond that. For soldiers of the Imam, we need to be looking for those higher levels. That spiritual ambition. I expect from myself, with the grace of Allah, to be able to do great things in the way of Islam. Spiritual ambition. The hadith I'm about to quote for you is again from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And it's his son, who's now, these are his majalis, Imam Hussein, we're remembering him, he's the one who's relating. He says that my father was leading a group of the believers for war. So imagine, in the camps of Amir al-Mu'mineen, getting ready to go to one of these major wars, he said an old man came to the camp, a sheikh. When they say sheikh, an old man. He comes to the camp. He said, Aina Amir al-Mu'mineen? Where is Amir al-Mu'mineen? And they said, he's here. So he came over to him, he passed salams to him, and then he said that, I'm coming from the direction of Syria. I live in that area. He said, I've heard so much about your fadila. He said that, please, teach me some of what God has taught you. He said that, I've heard that you're going to be martyred. I believe that you will be killed soon. Right? This is an excellent opportunity. I'm meeting you. I don't even know who you know, as in recognize your face. Now, one chance for me to sit with Amir al-Mu'mineen and to benefit from his presence. You see how careful this old man is. I want to take advantage of every moment and spiritual ambition. What is the imam? The first words out of the mouth of the imam, he says, Na'am ya Shaykh. Yes, old man, I'm going to teach you from that which Allah has taught me. Man i'tadala yawma fahuwa maghboon. He says, whoever is such that their 2 days are equal, this person has been cheated. If I'm a mu'min, and alhamdulillah I'm practicing, and I'm a follower of the imam, a soldier of the imam in my time, and my days spiritually are equal. It's not talking about somebody who, God forbid, the second day is worse than the first. You don't see any increase. You don't see any betterment in my spirituality. I don't have spiritual ambition. This person has been cheated. They're not using their life properly. We have in the hadith, they say that baqiyatu umr al-mu'min, the remainder of the life of a mu'min, the days that you have left, they say la qimata lah. There, it's invaluable. The hadith continues, it says, with that, the mistakes that you made in the past, you recover those things which you made dead, the words of the hadith. Maybe some mistakes you did, things that you missed, these things can be brought back to life with that time you have left. The remainder of the life of the mu'min is that valuable. There is no value for it. It is beyond value. Okay, so spiritual ambition. Now, I want to again go back to the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is now the advice of the imam just before he's about to pass. So we realize that we went to, according to the imam, we should have this spiritual ambition. The words of the imam just before he's about to go. Who is he talking to? Hassanain. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain. This hadith is to them. He says, وَعْمَلَا لِلْعَجْدِ. That work, make effort, do amal for ajr and reward. Do work for ajr and reward. You see, there's sometimes when somebody like me, I may hear hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, I may misunderstand it. I misunderstand. I'll give you a hadith, and all of you, I'm sure, have heard this hadith. A hadith that for myself, I can misunderstand. There are three groups of servants. Three groups of servants. قَوْمٌ عَبَدُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ خَوْفًا فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَةٌ عَبِيدٌ. There's a group of people who worship Allah out of fear. They have fear of Allah, fear of the last day, and they worship Allah out of fear. This is the worship of slaves. Abid. It continues. وَقَوْمٌ عَبَدُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى طَلَبَ الثَّوَابِ. There's some people who worship Allah because they want ajr, reward. طَلَبَ الثَّوَابِ. فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَةٌ وَجَرَى. And this is the ibadah of the employees. People are working, they want to get reward. وَقَوْمٌ عَبَدُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ حُبَّ اللَّهِ. There's a group of people who worship Allah out of love of Him. فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَةُ الْأَحْرَارِ وَهِيَ أَفْضَلُ الْعِبَادَةِ. This is the best kind of worship. This is the worship of the free people. It's the best kind of worship. So somebody like me, when I hear this hadith, again, immediately shaitan comes to my mind. Well, when you do worship, you really want paradise. Sometimes if it's difficult for you to perform some acts of worship, some parts of the religion, you avoid haram, it's because you have fear of the hellfire. the worship either of a slave or of a person who's looking for reward. So, but what you should do is have the worship of the free person. This worship is not so important. Now Shaitan comes in. They say that Rome wasn't built in a day. For somebody like Amir al-Mu'mineen, yes, when he worships Allah, he's not worrying about hell or paradise, and yes, I would love to get there, but where do we start? Do we consider this first level worthless? I worship Allah out of fear? Yeah! That's right. You can't compare the fear that you and I have with the fear of Amir al-Mu'mineen, how afraid he was. We can't compare that. Or that we want reward. We learn from the hadith of the Imam, he's addressing two imams. Two imams. No one is free of need of the thawab and ajr of Allah. Everybody, especially those who would like to advance spiritually, need to be looking for the thawab of Allah and trying to find that. We don't want to degrade the motivation that we may have for worship, because it's not that highest level of Amir al-Mu'mineen. No, where do we start? How do we get to that level? And do we ever get to a level that we don't need the reward of Allah? No, it's not how it works. Okay, so now let's say that I have heard these things. How can I implement this in my life? How can I become one of those pious people and implement this in my life? There are some people who don't get much out of their lives. And this is the reason that you and I, sometimes we fail spiritually. We're afflicted by the disease of ghafla. We're unaware, we're heedless. We don't realize how valuable this time that we have on the face of the earth is. But there are some people who take advantage of every second. Talaba thawab, they're looking for thawab in every second. They say that one time, the Prophet of Allah was speaking, and Salman al-Farsi was present, and there were some of the believers present. So then the Prophet of Allah said, who is it who fasts every day of the year? Salman is quick to say that I am one of those people. And the believers started to protest. They said, no, I've seen you eating. You're lying. How do you say you're fasting every day of the year? The Prophet said, no, be patient. He said, who is it who makes Salatul Layl, one of the spiritual wajibat, who makes Salatul Layl every night, stays all night, for instance, in prayer? Again, Salman was quick to say, I've seen you sleeping, what are you talking about? How do you, every night, all night, you're in prayer, what are you talking about? And he said, who is it, again the Prophet stopped him, who is it who fasts every day out of the year? Again, Salman raises. So, the believer is now upset. Salman over there bragging, showing off in front of everybody. How can this be? I've seen him with my own eyes. The Prophet tells Salman, please explain. He says that before I go to sleep, I make wudu. This is how we benefit from every second of our lives. He says, before I make sleep, when I go to sleep, I make wudu. And I was taught that I get the thawab of praying Salatul Layl. Even night can be used in the service of Allah. We have hadith. The Prophet of Allah is speaking to Abu Dhar. He says, in everything you do, make niyyah. If you don't have that disease of ghafla, if you want to work for ajr, if you want to make the most of the life of your time, even when you're sleeping, you make wudu. The hadith, there's more hadith about that. They say, man mata ala taharatin, mata shahida. Whoever dies in a state of wudu, dies a shaheed, a martyr. This is one of those spiritual wajibat. Always staying in a state of wudu. So he says that I always make wudu before I go to sleep, and I get the reward of making Salatul Layl. He said, well, what about fasting? He says that actually I fast 3 days out of the month. But the verse of Quran says that whoever does one good deed gets the reward of 10 good deeds. So 30 days. Someone who's clever, making the most of every second. He says, okay, well, the other part of the hadith, I think I mentioned it wrong, he said, every day I do khatm of Qur'an. How do you do khatm of Qur'an? I read surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad, because if you read it once, that's one third of Qur'an. I read that 3 times every day, khatm of Qur'an. So this is just an example of someone who wants to take advantage of every moment out of their lives. Benefit. Use the rest of the life of the believer, something which is described in the hadith as invaluable, as something beyond value, in the way of Allah. There are more things. This is just examples, right? There are more things. Other examples of how we can use this attitude of working for ajr and thawab and the way of Allah. A lot of the older generation are here, and some of you weren't here when I had a discussion about marriage and the rights of the spouse. Rights of the spouse. Sometimes we don't apply Islam in a comprehensive fashion, and we don't benefit by the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt as we should. Even in the area of marriage, working with the spouse, there is a way for me to have this attitude. For instance, for some of us, it's a little bit difficult to sit in the evening and listen to the wife talk. Right? Sometimes it kind of runs the mouth. And so I might listen, sometimes I maybe turn on the television, right? But it's kind of difficult sometimes. But there's the thawab for that. Again, if the mu'min is clever, the spiritual advisors, they tell us that everybody actually, if he wants to go on the spiritual path, should make time for his wife and just talk to her. What's the thawab for? The Prophet of Allah says it's more thawab than if you do i'tikaf in the Prophet's mosque. I'm just sitting and listening. For some people, they're just tolerating. Other people are getting great thawab with a niyyah. Something so simple. More than that, for instance, if our wife dresses up, which she should be doing, she dresses up. There are some men, some mu'mineen, they're not quick to give compliments. She dresses up, alhamdulillah, don't say anything. Whereas the wife needs to hear compliments. Right? You tell her compliments, she, top of the world. Nothing wrong with giving compliments. This is one of her needs, right? So verse of Quran, ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa. Help one another with righteousness and taqwa. She dresses up a little, you're like, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. That's a great one, really. Go on, let your house. Why not? Wife happy, you're happy. Then even more hadith, they say that, because our wives want us to hold their hand, talk to them, these kind of things. So let's say somebody really wanted to be a soldier of Imam Mahdi. What could he do? One of the things he could do is to hold his wife's hand. You know how much reward you get for that? Just holding her hand. She likes it. If you do that, you get the reward of 10 sins are removed and 10 good deeds are good. If you really want to be a soldier of Imam Mahdi, you give her a peck on the cheek, you get 100 good deeds, 100 sins removed. These are some examples. We're talking about the idea of not having the disease of ghafla. Trying to look for any small area in my life where I can implement some of the laws of Islam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة سيدة النساء العالمين.
اللهم صل على محمد.
صلي على سبتي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وصلي على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الحاد المهدي.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أنا عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك عباد الله أسيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله.
Brothers and sisters, I advise you all to have taqwa for Allah, to fear Allah, and to behave as if you are in Allah's presence constantly. The key to us making it to the next world, even more important than us gaining thawab, is avoiding haram. When we talk about self-building, if I am able to eradicate haram from my life, that will be more in hadith. It's more effective for me than even gaining thawab. We talked about ajr in the first khutbah. But if I can cut haram out of my life, cut haram out of my income, cut haram out of my dealings with others, stop doing wrong to others, this is even better for me spiritually than gaining thawab. We ask Allah to give us the strength to have taqwa and to behave as if we are constantly in the presence of God. The next, for this second khutbah, it's good for us to talk about the affairs of the believers, current affairs for the believers, and see how the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, Quran and Sunnah, apply to us now and can assist us in hastening the reappearance of our Master. We believe that we are very close to the return of the Master, but we have to pave the way. We believe that we are the biggest obstacles to the return of the Imam. I shared this with some of the believers the other day, that we're not waiting for the enemies of Islam to repent and turn away. For Israel, for instance, to say, that's it, you know, allow the Imam to return. That's never going to happen. What we're waiting for is the believers, you and I. When do we want the Imam to? When will we start behaving as if the Imam is watching us? Because that's what we believe. We have in our hadith that the Imam has even walked on your rugs in your house. To the extent that when the Imam returns, everybody will say, I've seen him somewhere. There are people who the Imam has actually interfered in their lives. He's helped them out. They didn't know because Allah did not reveal to them who the Imam was. But to behave as if the Imam is watching me, as if it's true, and it is true, that my deeds are being presented to the Imam, according to some hadith, twice weekly. There's sometimes when the Imam looks at our actions, and he's sad. There's other times when he looks, and he can be made happy if we do the right thing. So how do we do that? What are some of the things that we need to be doing as soldiers of the Imam to hasten his reappearance? I talked last week about the idea of us being unified with the other Muslims, and I meant specifically our Sunni brothers. Being unified with them right now, that is one of the biggest needs of Islam and the Muslims, and we as followers of the Ahlul Bayt should be the first people to do something like that, to make that step, try and invite others. Even, I would say, for those of you who know people who are curious about Imam Hussein, not about Imam Hussein, about the Shia faith, invite them even to the majalis. I'm sure some of you know that back home, it used to be the case, before the events started happening, so there were Shia and Sunni bloodshed, where not only would Sunnis participate in majalis of Ahlul Bayt, but sometimes even non-Muslims. Sometimes even non-Muslims. The Ahlul Bayt, the message we have is the message for humanity. We're not afraid of anyone. We would love to get everybody that chance. We talked about the idea of unity and how necessary that is. And at this present time, what a grave sin it is for anybody to do anything against unity. That is a grave, grave sin. But now I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about unity amongst us. Unity amongst us as believers. This is an issue that applies to us. When we see in the Quran, it says, وَأَقَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. The instructions of Allah are to hold firm, hold fast to the rope of God, and don't be separated. That's the instructions. However, sometimes people like me, we neglect these teachings of Allah, even if I'm somebody who's even politically aware. Sometimes you'll find Muslims who are politically aware, who know they need to be united, for instance, with our Sunni brethren, but then when it comes to their Shia brethren, always I find fault and flaws, and I can't work with these individuals. You find situations where Shias are going, and instead of participating in one center, right next door, I open another center. Sometimes you'll find, right? Instead of us gathering together, doing something together, putting our resources together, what is it that causes this splintering? What is it that causes, I can't work with this Alim, I can't work with this person, I can't pray behind this person, I can't associate with this group of Shias, this group of Shias has this problem. What is it, what's that disease that causes this problem? When we look at the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, one, Ziyarat Ashura, Ziyarat Ashura. We say, Ya Aba Abdillah, talking to Imam. Ya Aba Abdillah, Inni Silman Liman Salamako, Wa Harbun Liman Harabako. That I'm not saying that I'm at peace, I am peace. Inni Silman, I'm peace for those who are at peace with you, and I am war for those who are at war with you. But then on a practical basis, many times we see that amongst us, we're very quick to hold grudges, have hatred, be angry. Some Shia does a small thing. I don't forgive. It's just lucky. Allah is lucky that He didn't make us Qasimul Jannati wal Nar. Otherwise, we would be throwing Shias left and right. Huh? Instead of Simun Liman Salam, I am horrible. Sometimes, liman salama. So quick to get angry, to get furious, to separate. And this lack of unity causes our greatness to disappear in the eyes of the enemy. Instead of us being soldiers of the Imam and advancing the cause of the Imam, we're weaklings. We go to teachings of Quran and Sunnah, we're not strong as we should be. Our energy is not used as it should. Let me quote you one verse of Quran. This is from Surah number 8, and it's verse number 46. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ Obey Allah. وَرَسُولَهُ Obey Allah and the Messenger. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا Don't fight amongst yourselves. Don't quarrel. فَتَفْشَلُوا You will lose hope. You will lose courage. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ And your power will dissipate and disappear. If this instruction of the Quran, don't quarrel amongst yourself, be unified, if this is necessary for Muslims overseas, it's not more necessary for those of us who are a minority here, the front lines of Islam in the Western world, that we be able to tolerate one another? We're not talking about being united on sin. Sometimes it's sin involved, no, obviously I can't stand for that. But a lot of times, it's not an issue of sin, it's an issue of taste. I like to see that azadari be done in this way. I like to see that you mention a little bit more about this issue, or that issue. You don't? No, I can't work. I remember one time, there was a sister that giving advice to people on getting married and stuff like that, giving advice. So a sister approached me, and she said that, you know, I'm looking for a husband who allows me to carry out social work for Islam, a very active system. Social work for Islam, go out and invite people, for instance, I need to pursue my education. Whatever I need to do, I'm looking for a husband like this. Lets me do whatever I want outside the house. Don't lock me up inside the house. I don't. So I told the sister, I said, sister, you're looking for a husband who can be your wife. He doesn't tell you anything, he just listens. You can be, I do whatever I want outside, don't tell me anything, you'll just be there when I come home in the evening, after setting the world on fire, you're home. That's what you're looking for. Sometimes, our brothers have the same approach to ulama. How come I can't work with this alim? Because I'm looking for alim who thinks the same way I think. I want the alim to be my wife. Huh? I'm not willing to work under people. I'm not a team player. Whereas, if you're in a team, and all of us have learned the concept of working in a team, it's more important that the team make a decision. Sometimes that decision will be right, we're all wrong, but overall the decisions will be wrong. You're unified through having some leadership. That's much better than anarchy. But sometimes for Muslims, no. I know better. This alim, oh no, he's I can't work with this guy. Are you an alim? No. But I know. Because sometimes it's issues of taste, it's not issues of principle. So we ask that Allah keep us from that. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات المسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات رابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوة إنك على كل شيء قدير بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر